Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, scientists have said they found a new species has been discovered. Have you heard about that? Lead researcher claims that fossils are from a previously unknown being, but others say he's jumped the gun. This is a lead story that came out of World Magazine. It was part of their posted on September 11th, written by Daniel James Devine. It says this: deep inside the cave 30 miles from Johannesburg, South Africa, a tight crevasse, I get an opportunity to say it that way on the broadcast today, a tight crevasse guards the passageway that was, until recently, the grave of at least 15 human-like individuals, their bones and teeth, more than 1,500 fragments in all, lay in a heap at the bottom of a pitch-black chamber for ages, until two skinny spelunkers, I think a spelunker, you know, these guys that go into the caves, not me, but them spelunkers with flashlights, they squeezed into the earth deep enough to find them. And now these bones are in the hands of scientists who say that they belong to a new species of prehumans. Well, really? Is this what's really there? Or, as other scientists are saying, well, just hold on a second as you make that type of a claim. Let's look at what we have here and decide exactly what is taking place. Well, who better to turn to do that than Dr. Joe Francis from the Master's College. He's the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences in the Department of Mathematics. He's also a professor of biological sciences as well there at the Master's College. Dr. Francis, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks, Pastor Bowling. It's great to be back.
Well, what was your reaction when you saw the news about this particular finding, and then shortly thereafter about them announcing that this is the new species of being?
Well, at first, as a scientist, there's always excitement about discovering new things and fossils, and creationists are working in this area. And although when the news came out that this is a certain kind of being, we also know as scientists that proof of those kinds of claims take a long time. So even in the scientific community, there is skepticism and suspicion, and that's the way it should be. That's the way science works. But let me set up why this is important for believers. It is an exciting finding, and I want to talk about it. But as we talk about our understanding of the scriptures, we talk about taking all thoughts captive. We need to understand what our neighbor thinks and believes. And I remember a sermon by John MacArthur years ago in Timothy, where he looked at the analogies to that we can use to describe the Christian life, like being a farmer or being a soldier. And when he got to the soldier part, he carefully dissected scripture and said, you know, our battle here as a soldier for Christ is not against flesh and blood. It's against every anti-God idea.
Mm.
And if we look at evolution the way it's taught, godless evolution, it is an anti-God idea. And if we want to help save our neighbor with the gospel, we need to understand what they're thinking about, how they've been trained in the public schools to think about this idea of evolution. So the Master's College, we have a lab now to study this human evolution series, and it's quite revealing. There is a lot here in the standard model of human evolution, and there's a lot in this recent discovery that actually supports creation, and we can talk about that today.
Yeah, tell me what the secular scientists, the Darwinian with a Darwinian framework or worldview, what are they saying about this particular finding?
Well, what's exciting about this finding, and let's go back in and set this up. When you look at the human evolution story the way it's presented, There's basically two groups that precede humans. There's a group called the Australopiths, and your listeners and others may have heard of the famous Lucy skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
The Australopiths are basically bipedal apes, meaning bi means two, meaning walking on two legs. And even if you look at the evolutionary textbooks, I was just reading one the other day, the author said, these look like nothing more than apes that walk on 2 feet. And but then the second group is called the Homo group. We are Homo sapiens, and there's Homo Neanderthals and Homo erectus and all these other groups. They tend to be very human-like. And what's interesting and what supports a creation model here is there's a huge gap between these Australopiths and the Homo group. Now, the other problem with the Homo group, like Homo habilis and all these findings, is they only find a few fossils. They might find a fragment of a skull, a fragment of a finger. The most numerous fossils we've had in the Homo group is Neanderthal. And one writer in National Geographic about this recent discovery said in these caves in Africa, he said, before this discovery, we could fit most of these Homo fossils in a shoebox and still have room for shoes. that's a direct quote. So there's not a lot out there. But as creationists, we believe in something called discontinuity, that creation is discontinuous. God said he created animals and in groups on certain days, and he created human beings, and we are separate. So what's exciting about the creation model is we have a simple framework. We have humans and we have animals.
Mm-hmm.
And we do look similar to apes, but we know from Scripture that those are in the animal group. Well, what's exciting about this discovery is it's in a cave where they have found possibly 15 individuals, thousands of bones, and they put them together. And if you watch the National Geographic PBS show, it's quite exciting. They come out of the cave with a piece of the skull, and they take it to a tent. And the researcher said, this is Homo. And the other interesting thing, so as creationists, one of the things we're going to think about is there's only two choices. That's going to be a human or it's going to be an ape. If it's in the Homo area, we're excited about the fact that this is possibly another human race. If we look at the diversity today, there's a lot of diversity among humans. There are small humans. There are large humans. We see that diversity today, even in skulls. If you line up human skulls today, there's diversity based on our racial heritage. It's really quite fascinating.
Hmm.
So what is interesting about this cave is not only the number of bones they found, but there's no animal bones mixed in. Whenever we find a cave, there's always animal bones, as if someone threw them in there, that this was their catch, or the animals dragged the human bodies in after they killed them. There are no creatures in there. The other interesting thing about this cave is there's some areas that are only 10 inches high that you have to crawl through.
Hmm.
And the head researcher, being middle-aged, like a lot of us, couldn't fit through. So he hired young technicians, mostly women, to go down. And there are only human bones in there. There's nothing that suggests water put them in there. There's no scraping on the bones like an animal put them in there. And here's the real interesting thing. They're starting to think this is a burial ground, and only humans bury their dead.
Mm.
The other interesting thing that supports that is they only find young skeletons and old. And if you go to a graveyard, that's what you find. You don't find middle-aged people in graveyards very much. The typical graveyard shows young and old, young dying from some early disease, and the elderly. This looks human. And if you watch the shows and stuff, they'll try to put makeup on and try to make it look like a transitional ape. But you can put makeup on any of us and change the way we look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clay and all that. As a creationist, we're really excited that this is human. And if you look at the biblical story of Babel, we know that God confused the nations and they spread out through the earth. And probably some of those groups got cloistered. They looked like each other. They got married, intermarried, and probably that's the origin of races. And so, as creationists, there's a lot here to support the creation model. First, this looks human. And again, we only have one choice, that's human or ape. And if that's human, that is a human race in the lineage of Adam and Eve. And that's very exciting.
Now,
I mentioned Lucy. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention that as to the dating of it, some of those scientists have dated these fossils to be 2.5 million years old. But others said, well, it can be as little as 10,000 years old, right? So there's a huge discrepancy here in the dating process.
There is. And as creationists, again, one thing about our model, which is nice, is this can't be long ago. And one reason, this comes right out of National Geographic. They said that they don't have an exact date, but their early guesses suggest that this creature lived at this human lived at the time of Lucy, which means this kicks Lucy out of the story. This actually destroys Lucy as an evolutionary intermediate. And so this is why, as creationists and Christians, we need to look close at this and look at where this supports the creation discontinuity story, that God created things, again, separately and unique. And so there's some of us who are very excited about this discovery as supporting creation. And there's more here. But it could be very exciting for us as we reinterpret the data. As creationists, we should not be afraid to reinterpret the data, because everyone starts with presuppositions.
Mm-hmm.
And our starting point is that humans are a separate creation, and God made human races through the lineage of Adam and Eve.
Mm. So that makes a great point. You know, I've said it before on the broadcast, and it's worth repeating again, that as believers, we're not afraid of the data. We're all looking at the same data. We only have a limited amount of data that is shown to us. In this case, you know, we have up to 1,500 bones that have been found in the same location. So we're looking at the same data. But how we interpret that data is really where the issue is. And a lot of times how you interpret the data is impacted by your presupposition. So right away, the secularist, the Darwinian framework is going to approach this with their presuppositions, and we're going to approach this with our presuppositions that come from the idea that God is, and God has revealed himself to us in his word, and his word reveals to us something about human origin as well. So we're going to take those things into consideration. We don't set those things aside and just come to this, you know, with a clean slate. Nobody does. So we bring our worldview along with us. We bring our presupposition along with us, and we use that as we're looking at these items. Is that correct?
That is correct. And if you watch the National Geographic PBS special called Dawn of Humanity, as the researchers up top are waiting for the bones, one young researcher says, "This seems to destroy all our presuppositions, all our ideas."
Mm.
It was an admission that they didn't know what was going on. Why would there be humans so early along with these other bipedal apes? I think they realized there was some threat to the evolution story here.
Mm.
And again, this is exciting. Yeah, I would love for one of my students to get into this modeling, or this artistic work, where they take the bones and they put a face on. I'm looking at the faces in the National Geographic right now, and what they do with all these old fossils, they tend to put a flat, flared-out nose like an ape, but your nose is cartilage. You know, that's totally based on a presupposition. We could actually put a human nose on these skulls, and I think we would have something. We would have a human. We would have something that looked very human. Again, there's no animal culture that goes through a burial routine. Neanderthals, let's take Neanderthals for a minute. They're a big boned body. They even have a little bit of a bun on the back of their skull. And some creationists, and actually some old earth creationists, have said, "Oh, that's a beast, that's an animal." But they also have burial ceremonies. They have elaborate tools for smoothing out leather. And we have record of their ceremonies. As creationists, we believe that that is a a human in the lineage of Adam and Eve. What it looks like, what's getting very exciting is it looks like there were more human races in the past, and some might not have survived the migration out of Babel. It could have been very, very treacherous. But here's another finding that was totally glossed over in this finding. In a few years ago, preceding this finding, this was discovered in 2013. It's just coming out now. And by the way, the human name for this intermediate, they think is intermediate, is called Homo naledi. Hmm. That's the one they found in these deep caves in Africa. But a few years ago, in a tiny village called Damanasi, in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, they found a cave with multiple skulls, not as many bones as the Naledi finding in South Africa, but they found multiple skulls. And here's what's interesting. The researchers found Homo erectus and Homo, what looks like Homo sapien, and maybe Homo Neanderthal. Well, those skulls shouldn't be together. They should be at different levels in the geological strata, because that's how geologists date things.
Hmm.
If a skull is found farther down, it's older. Well, they found five of these in the same cave, and they're kind of not talking about that very much right now, but that suggests that all these humans lived at the same time. They were probably modern. They buried their dead. They had culture. But here's what's even more exciting, and this is very preliminary, but Georgia, Russia, is not that far from the Middle East, where the Tower of Babel may have been. Mm-hmm. So here's a creation story that we can start to put together. The evolutionists can put together some fantastical stories. We should be able to put some stories together, too, and just say they're stories based on our presuppositions. But here's what's interesting. That Damanasi cave, if that's closer to the Tower of Babel dispersion, suggests that these people groups were together very early on. They might have already been kind of the Lord might have already been putting things in place to diversify them into the races we have today. And they were together in the Middle East, and then they spread out. So this new finding is in South Africa. That would be far, far away from the Soviet Republic of Georgia. But that would make sense. As God dispersed them, these people groups then started living within their own culture and solidifying these human races. I think it's very exciting because our God is a God of diversity. We are all united as one human race, yet God has allowed these races to diversify in the lineage of Adam and Eve.
Hmm.
And again, these are exciting times, and sure, the story, they can make it look like evolution, but we're, as creationists, the more we find, we're finding it's supporting a creation model of the creation of human beings and the diversity of humans into beautiful races. Let me give another example. In Asia, they find a small skeleton called Homo floresiensis. It looks like a smaller version of human, and our creation analysis shows that it is human. Well, we shouldn't be threatened by that because we have small humans today. And in different areas of the world, even. And so there you go. It wouldn't it be exciting, to, as we put this story together, to see how God instituted diversity among humans, all in the human family from Adam and Eve?
Hmm. Amen. When they use this term for the finding, Naledi, I think you said it was, do you know
right.
What are they saying in that? Do you know what that that term actually means? Does that have the idea
yeah.
of a bridge built into it?
Absolutely, absolutely not. It's interesting. The cave has stalactites in it, and part of the naming of the cave in South Africa, Naledi, means stars. So they just used the name of the cave. Homo is what infers some kind of, creature. But what I like about the term Homo is it implies human. And so it's interesting, as much as the evolutionists want to make a sequential series of humans, all we've ended up with right now is two groups by their own device, the Homo group and the Australopithecus. I think that's fascinating in itself. Why don't they call this creature pre-human and leave out the name Homo?
Mm.
Why? Because it's so close to human. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? By their own convention, they have made two groups with discontinuity. Homo is human, Australopiths are ape, and that fits a creation model. Now, they're trying to say there's intermediates in between there, but why wouldn't they make up a new name? So I think your question is really is good and valid and kind of shows that they don't know what to do. It really kind of shows that they don't have a true intermediate as much as they think they do.
Mm. Yeah, the associated article to this is found in the BBC.com, and it says this. It says, new human-like species discovered in South Africa. So right away in the title, they distance themselves from it being a human itself, but human-like, you know, this idea of bridging again the space between animal and human. And so they put it right in that category, although there's a lot of unanswered questions here, or a lot of questions that are raised as to whether or not that is the right conclusion, the way that they put it. But the article goes on to say the scientists have discovered a new human-like species in a burial chamber deep in a cave in South Africa. The discovery of 15 partial skeletons is the largest single discovery. Researchers claim that the discovery will change ideas about our human ancestors. Well, it may give us some more information about human ancestors, as you've been sharing here about that part of the spread or the scattering of people from the Tower of Babel. It may tell us some things about this particular human group, you know, that we find here, and some of their habits that they had among this group. But it certainly doesn't really raise to the level of, hey, we found yet another missing link between the animal kingdom and humans, right? I mean, they're really reading a lot into it.
Oh yes. Again, they're trapped by their own presuppositions here. And if you watch the show, I think you'll find instances in there where they throw their hands up because the lead researcher is interviewed, and he's really baffled about the burial ceremony. I think he wants a story where maybe animals drag these bones in. He wants some kind of story. But what's unusual about this cave is the entrances are so tight.
Yeah.
In two places. One goes up a hill and comes down, and these poor young ladies had to turn their heads sideways to get that. I'm too claustrophobic. I wouldn't make it.
Yeah, I'm not going in there.
They're squeezing through. And so this researcher's just going, we don't know what to do. This is human. You know, they're not coming out and saying that, but this, you know, this is human-like is what they're saying. And when you think about it, burying your dad, that takes a lot of forethought.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work. It takes, how would they get them down into that cave? That would take a lot of planning.
Mm.
These were people that were ingenious and probably thinking, well, there's decay and that sort of thing. We want to get away from that. And by using this cave, we'll always know where our dead are and we can honor them that way. And so in the show, yes, they try to force on you this idea, well, this could be the intermediate, but they are stuck with a complicated human behavior suggesting human. And thank the Lord that he has placed these clues in nature here that suggest that his creation is what happened. There was a human group created, and there was their animal groups created, and they're very distinct.
The closing of the article on the BBC says this. Other researchers working in the field, such as Professor Stinger, believe that Naladi should be described as a primitive human, but he agrees that current theories need to be reevaluated and that we have only scratched the surface of a rich and the complex story of human evolution. Well, as you mentioned there, they don't seem to be, that's not a strong statement about, hey, we found the missing link. There seems to be a lot of unanswered question there. And I like the way that you say that, well, we can take this finding, we can look at this from a creationist viewpoint, and it's completely in keeping with what we already believe in the Word of God, that this is another people group. This is another just humans that have scattered from the Tower of Babel, and we can learn some things about this people group. Dr. Francis, let me give you the final word. We have just about 1 minute left. What's your final word to the listening audience today?
Well, I just a word to my evolutionist colleagues in science. I would hope they're honest with the data that if this finding of human culture displaces the Lucy fossil, that they would go to the museums and write under that fossil that this is a bipedal ape. This is not in the lineage of humans. I would declare that they be honest. And to my creationist colleagues, to have an open mind, but just continue to use the scripture as our guide and to look at God's creation and honor it and come up with these new ideas, realizing that our ideas are fallible, but the Word of God is not.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, well said. Dr. Francis, thanks so much for joining us again today to talk about this latest news item. We really appreciate the work that that you do there at the college and the college in general, the work that they're doing to train young men and women to be able to understand these things from a biblical perspective.
Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be here.
Okay. That was Dr. Joe Francis. Again, he's the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and the Department of Mathematics. He's also a professor of biological sciences as well at the Masters College. That's www.masters.edu. You can go out there to find out all the information about Dr. Francis and the college in general. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, the guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.